Assalamu alaikum, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of Muslima Podcast. I'm Asma, your host, and today I'm so excited to be talking with my friend Sophia about being the eldest daughter in an immigrant household. Both Sophia and I are both the eldest daughter in a Desi household with either immigrant parents or immigrant grandparents, and we're so excited to share our experiences with you, and we hope that you can relate. So without further ado, let's get started. Assalamu alaikum, Sophia. How are you?
Walaikum salam. I am good, alhamdulillah. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. By the way, congratulations on graduating.
Thank you so much. It's been honestly a blur. It's happened too fast. I can't believe it's even happened. It's been so long since then.
Yeah, seriously. So Sophia, before we get started on our episode today, do you mind telling me a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Sophia Nahal. I recently literally just graduated from UNT and I'm planning to go to graduate school, inshallah, in the fall. Inshallah. I am also the co-founder of a small business called Kismet by SS. And I'm also the author of The Sunflower's Moon.
Amazing. So I would love if, you know, before we get into today's topic, which is, you know, being the eldest daughter in an immigrant household, I would love if you could tell me more about, you know, the clothing brand and your book, The Sunflower's Moon.
Yeah, that sounds perfect. So basically, I'm one of the co-founders of the small business. And so what our small business is that we have and create unique and original designs, either complementing on like the Arabic like culture or even the Desi culture, because what me and my co-founder found and tried to look into was trying to find modern designs or modern clothing for someone who's Desi, for someone who's Arab, and trying to implement like modesty into that. So like, for example, like if you're looking at Shein or just like Forever 21 and things like that, you can't really find like the Desi culture implemented in those clothing brands. So we are like, you know, if we can't find it, we might as well make it, you know?
Absolutely.
And so we're doing that. And so, like, you know, we have not only just Desi culture implemented into that, we also have the Arabic culture too, because we thought about like, hey, like, you know, especially for someone who's like Arabic and Desi, Desis, I don't like, even for me, I can't even find like clothes that are modest and like, you know, actually representing culture. I'm pretty sure that they need to and deserve representation too. And so we're like, why don't we combine both and just make it happen? So there we are with that.
That sounds amazing, mashallah.
Thank you so much. And yeah, it's been quite a journey so far. I feel like if I were to not do that, if I never made or had that idea with her and things like that, I wouldn't have learned the things that I've learned now because of that. And so that's why I always encourage everyone to just go and chase their dreams kind of thing, because you never know what you're going to learn or what comes after it.
Absolutely.
If I had stopped myself from writing my book, or even if I had just like completely given up on it, I would have never written a book, you know, and that was something that I personally wanted to do, especially as a child. I always dreamt of writing my own book, having it in my own little library in my house, like on my bookshelf, and be like, well, like I did that. That's my baby, right? And so, you know, coming and going through that long journey of just writing it and just trying to make it as much as like a piece of me, because that's what I tell everyone about my book. It's basically a piece of me. It's poetry and prose all combined into one about my journey so far and what I've learned and dealt with and things like that, talking about misogyny, racism, and things like that, because I feel like those topics are basically a taboo in the Desi culture. And so I really wanted to express how we need to change our mindsets and focus on mental health and things like that. So I put that all in a book, tied it up with a bow, and I did that.
Wow, mashallah, that all sounds amazing. And like, honestly, you have accomplished so much at such a young age. And I love that you said that your book was like a piece of you. I would definitely recommend reading it. The Sunflower's Moon is available on Amazon, so definitely check it out. I'm going to be linking everything in the podcast description as well as on Instagram. So, all right, let's just jump right into our topic for today. So today we're going to be talking about being the eldest daughter in an immigrant household. Both myself and Sophia are both the eldest daughter in a household with, you know, Desi culture. So I'm going to be asking Sophia questions about her experience and maybe adding in a few anecdotes of my own. So to start us off, Sophia, what has it been like for you being the oldest daughter, and how did it change your perspective growing up?
So being the oldest daughter, I feel like is so underestimated by so many different people and so many different like ethnicities and things like that, and genders too, because you know, being a girl and coming up from a Desi household, especially, it's not easy. It's definitely not easy. And I feel like even if you were to be a boy in the oldest household, being a girl in the oldest household is definitely a little bit harder than that because you have so much expectations of, you know, you figuring it out on your own. And then you have to raise your siblings as basically a second mother. And then you also have to live up to the expectations of your parents, who are probably like, you know, immigrants coming to this country and trying to figure themselves out just to raise their own kids. And you have so much stress and expectations on you where it's not easy, especially being a girl from immigrants and things like that. You're trying to figure yourself out. You're trying to balance your home and family life as well as your social and public life. And it's definitely not easy because there's so many different expectations and opinions going around. And it's not easy trying to, you know, do whatever you want to do because you have to always remember, oh my God, like that famous quote of what people say is like, "Lok ya gangi," like, what are people going to say, and things like that. And so, being the eldest daughter has definitely been eventful.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely not an easy road. And I think, like you said, it's definitely underestimated by a lot of people. And I think the reason why we put immigrant is in there is because when your parents or your grandparents are immigrants, there's a lot of expectations on you because they worked so hard to bring you to this country. And they have a lot of expectations from their first child. Like, I want you to become this. I want you to become this. Or, you know, like, I worked so hard to bring you here. Why aren't you getting better grades? Like, you know, why aren't you doing this? So I think there's a lot of questioning and a lot of expectations, like you said. Did being the older sibling ever affect the way that you viewed yourself and what expectations you set for yourself?
Most definitely, yes. So, most of everyone that I know, most of my friends, they happen to be like the oldest sibling as well, or at least like the middle child. But for those who are also oldest daughters in the household, they can honestly relate to what I have to relate to, you know, making sure that our siblings are on, like, you know, where they're supposed to be at school wise and things like that. You'll have to make sure like your house is in control because you're basically the second mom. And then you're also trying to balance out like, what can I do that I'll be satisfied with, but also satisfied my parents as well as the community and things like that. Because you can't necessarily do whatever you want because your parents worked so hard to get you to where you are at now. You can't just basically just, you know, just let it all go and just basically do whatever you want because you have to take care of them as they have taken care of you so for so long. And feel like a lot of us are stuck in positions or places where we're not able to do certain things just because of either what the people are going to say, what our family's going to think, and so on. So it's really hard. And so for me personally, I had to balance all of that. But I learned the hard way that no matter what I'm going to do, not everybody is not going to be satisfied, right? The community is not going to be satisfied. My parents won't be satisfied. You know, not everyone's going to be satisfied, and no matter what I do. And so the best thing that I can do is try to be the best person that I can be and focus on what I'm trying to succeed in and trying to satisfy my parents. And because they're my parents, I don't have to listen to some auntie telling me like, oh, like Beta or Betty, like, I think you should do this or whatever, like do whatever, like do this and that's it, right? No, like I want to do something that I'm like passionate about and things like that. I feel like a lot of us tend to overlook what we're passionate about just to satisfy the needs of others. And that comes into play with mental health. And so balancing all of that has definitely been like a challenge for me. But I feel like because of the experience that I've had, that it's getting so much better and that I'm able to tell other people, like, you know, you can do what you want as long as it's good for you and things like that. And, you know, Allah knows everything. So we don't really have to worry about anything because everything's already in play. It's already been written down. As long as we're trying our best and we're not necessarily doing anything that's wrong or haram, then it's all going to work out perfectly.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with everything that you're saying. It definitely does change your perspective and the expectations that you set for yourself. And, you know, like the whole community is kind of looking at you. It's a lot of pressure. So for you personally, have those expectations from your parents or the community or Desi culture or just like being from an immigrant family, have they in any way changed your decisions that you've made? Like, for example, what you decided to study or like, you know, deciding to publish the book or has your position as the eldest child changed your decisions?
Yes, because I feel like I had to realize that even though I'm trying to help my family out and be like this ideal community figure, that I can't satisfy everyone. And that's, it'll never happen. Never, ever, ever, like, will everyone be satisfied at the same time, right? And so, like, these opinions and these, like, you know, thoughts of other people's, yeah, like, you know, it's good to get feedback here and there, but like, I'll take it in. But sometimes, like, it just gets too much where it's just, like, it's not even just feedback. It's just straight up criticism or, like, just straight up judgment where it's just not, like, ideal for, like, anyone, right? And so, like, I can tell you when I was writing the book and stuff, I didn't tell a lot of people except my very close friends and my siblings, and that's it. I didn't even tell my parents because I was a little bit afraid that, you know, they wouldn't be super supportive of that because I was doing school amongst that too. And I knew that they would say, hey, we want you to focus on your school. This is just like a side thing. Worry about this later. Right. And so I didn't tell them until I actually, like, you know, got my first hard author copy, and then I gave it to them, and that's how I showed them. That's how I did that. And so even for the business, I like was scared to tell them about it because I was afraid, like, oh, like they want, they're just probably going to say, like, focus on your studies, do things like that. And I had told them, and, you know, they were kind of like, oh, like, I told them, like, a couple weeks in, and I was like, look, like, you know, me and my friend, we started a business and this and that. And, you know, like, of course, it came to the talk of, like, okay, but what about your studies and things like that, right? And so, you know, I, like, as long as you can balance it and you know that you're able to do all of this, then it's perfectly fine. I feel like a lot of our parents are just worried that we're going to fail or we're not going to be doing the best that we can, and they're scared of us not being able to live up to their expectations of their own parents too, right? It's just a generational thing. And for whenever I had changed majors so many times, so whenever I had finally changed it to psychology, which was like the one thing I really wanted to study and I was super passionate about, but I was too scared to do that because of the community and things like that. I remember, like, some aunties were talking about it and they were asking me, like, why I decided to do that and why I had stopped doing, like, because the biology. And I told them that, you know, it's a great major and whatnot, but it's not for me. I didn't like it. It wasn't for me at all. And so I told them, like, you know, I'm doing psychology. I really like it. It's a really great field and it's super broad and it's perfect for me. And so they had literally straight up told me that, you know, only crazy people do that.
Oh, my God.
And yeah, they literally told me that only crazy people do that and that it's not a real major. Like, you're never going to get a job out of this. You're never going to succeed in this major, blah, 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 you know, and like things like that. That's just straight up rude, you know, and, you know, aunties, they want to be like, you know, looking out for you in a way, right? But they say it so bluntly and they don't really think about what they're saying. And so, you know, I still remember those things. I still remember who said what, when, where, why, whatever. Right. But it's just like, it's crazy because, like, you know, these things, they stick with us. Like, you know, and I know so many people who didn't even do psychology, who did like business majors, who did like other things that their parents, like, you know, don't really like enjoy, or other things that, like, you know, community members just don't like. And they'll straight up tell you, like, oh, like, you're never going to get a job in this. You're never going to succeed in this. You're never going to do anything with this major. Like, what was the point of even, like, you wasted your life type of thing. But I believe, like, you know, you're really passionate about something and you really want to do it, go for it. Everything happens for a reason. And if it's good for you, like, good will come after it, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, those moments that you were talking about that always stick with you, I totally agree. There's definitely moments where people are judging you or just looking at you differently, or like they say something to you and they mean well, but like at the same time, that moment sticks with you because you can see the doubt in their face when you tell them, yeah, like what you're majoring in. I'm like a sociology and public health major and people don't even know like what those things mean. And they're like, they just kind of give me like a confused look. And then I'm like, well, I want to go to law school. And they're like, oh, and then they get it. But it's like, like, you know, if I had said that major just by itself, it's like, you know, so much judgment and being like, oh, well, you're never going to get a job. So I don't think people realize like how detrimental like statements like that can be. But so for my next question, I was going to ask, is your relationship with your parents different because you are the eldest daughter? And is it different from the relationship that your parents have with your other siblings?
I feel so, yes, because my parents know that I'm very sensitive, right? And it's ironic because I'm the oldest and I'm the most sensitive one, but my siblings, they're younger than me and they're not as sensitive as I am, right? And so it's so funny to me because sometimes my parents will actually tell my sister things, like they'll be like, okay, but don't tell your sister because she'll like freak out or she'll like be super stressed out and things like that. And so when I'm stressed, like, it's so funny. My family will know that I'm stressed, right? They'll just have, like, this vibe. And especially if I'm really moody or things like that, like, everybody will just, like, be huddled. And, like, they'll be like, okay, nobody bother her. Nobody just deal with her. Like, she'll probably explode or something, right? And so they know, right? Because I show my emotions outside a lot. So you are just able to tell, right? I'm really sensitive. And so, like, my relationship with them is just very different compared to my siblings' relationship with them, because with my siblings they can just straight up tell them like, okay, like, you know, you got to do this, whatever, right? And they'll be very blunt with them. But for me, they have to like, they'll be blunt to me, but to an extent where it's more nicer and sweeter, because I tend to take things to the heart very directly, right? And I don't know if it's because I'm like the oldest. I don't know, like a lot of the oldest siblings I have seen like amongst my friends, they tend to be very sensitive too. And so like whenever my parents try to tell me things or talk to me about things, they either like say it in a very nicer way or they just try to say it not very directly, if that makes sense. So it's funny, honestly.
Oh yeah, that absolutely makes sense. And it's interesting to hear your experience for sure, that you're, you know, the more sensitive one and you take things like very much to heart. I'm like kind of the opposite. I'm like the least sensitive sibling. So I'm the oldest of five. And like, for me, like, I don't really take things to heart. And my parents are very, like, very blunt with me. But then some of my other siblings, they're more like, you know, they ease the blow a little bit, you know, if they have bad news or they're like, no, like, this is what we expect from you. So it's interesting to see how like our experiences are a little different.
Everybody just underestimates, honestly, like brown, desi, like eldest daughters, like it's so hard. It's literally a full-time job. And it never stops. It's just a continuous job, but you know, we're enjoying it here and there. Sometimes it's like up and down. Sometimes it's all around, you know, all different types of emotions, but we're doing it. And I love it, you know, and it's just something that, you know, we experience it. And I feel like I'm happy to be busy and to be the eldest, honestly. Sometimes I'm like, oh, like, I wish I was the youngest. I would get spoiled. I'd have it so much easier. You know, I could be an iPad kid, yeah. You know, and things like that. But, you know, I'm happy I'm the eldest.
Thank you so much, Sophia, for being on here, for sharing. I definitely think it's like a bittersweet experience to be the oldest, you know, daughter, but I think we definitely get a lot of reward for all that we do. And I think that, you know, we just have to take on that role for the rest of our life, but it also comes with a lot of blessings. So thank you so much for sharing with me. And yeah, make sure to check out Sophia on social media and as well as her book and her company. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I love you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Of course. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you all for listening to this episode of Muslima Podcast. Make sure to follow and subscribe and check out our Instagram at muslima.podcast. Thank you all and see you next week.